came in, the air went out. And every shadow filled up with doubt. I don't know who you think you are, but before the night is through, I wanna do bad things with you.
What we're gonna hear is Ion speaking on vampires in a way no one's ever heard before. So this is December 26, 2009, the vampirization of America. This is back, you know, when the vampire was a big phase, a big thing, True Blood and all that. So Ion decides to tell us what the fuck are vampires. And there's stuff here that I cannot play, top secrets. I didn't edit this. It's just the raw footage, so I hope I stop it before we get to it, or we're all in fucking shit, okay? If I start getting the stuff you know you shouldn't be hearing, you fucking hang up the phone immediately. Okay, here we go.
I got an article on the vampirization of America, and it's about how if you go to the young adult bookshelves in the stores, there's a new fad that kids are reading, and it's all about vampires, characters.
We did that some time ago, if you recall.
We did talk about the kids being in the vampires, but you said there are actual vampires showing up now.
Yeah.
So you have these young kids reading about the vampires because, being closer to the source, they know that the vampires are showing up.
No, they're being made to show up because of all the media on them.
That's right, that's right. That's a part of it. But now, don't be coy. Vampires have been around a lot longer than you've been writing books about them. Oh, wait, Vlad the Impaler. Oh, wait, that was yesterday. No, that's tomorrow. No, that's week after next. See, you get tangled up in that process. All that's happening, very simply, very easily, all that's happening is that individual human creators are embracing this topical experience that there are the, well, you're going to call them unquieted dead, meaning that they don't die. What are you going to refer to them as or regarding? But see, if you keep going down this path, you're going to end up with dark shadows. That's the Colin whatever show from the 60s. That was as much involved in embracing of vampirism as many other memes of the moment. See, but they didn't get bought into. The difference this time is they're being bought into. And you go, Ion, the hell are you talking about? What do you mean? What we mean is they're embracing it because they got nothing better to embrace. It's a more easily embraceable because they've already tweeted about everything that's tweetable.
Yeah, they have to come up with some preposterous thing to give them identity.
It's not preposterous because they have empirical evidence that it is.
The kids naturally gravitate to some new strange phenomenon to fascinate their imagination.
And we laughingly say, what's new about a vampire? I mean, it's been since Vlad the Impaler. Long time. That's not new. I mean, that's like saying, oh gosh, there's a new thing going on. It's called werewolves. Well, they've been talking about chupacabras forever. So to say that's a new thing that's just come on the horizon would be silly. But what's unsilly was if they start embracing this information, topical information, into a dynamic that ushers it more into their place of corresponding respondents. Corresponding respondents. Yes, that's exactly right. Meaning, if it's looking for a reason, it becomes validated as such.
When you say corresponding correspondence, you didn't really explain. Do you mean corresponding in the sense of connecting, metaphorically?
Connecting, connecting. Corresponding correspondence means that they overlap and agree.
An exchange of information, correspondence, and corresponding, in other words,
validated.
No, it's validated or accepted by the other. And they start to have the same thought or agreement.
Embraceable. And the next thing you know, then you got a little troop of them running around.
Troop of what?
Vampire lovers. Vampire believers. Vampires. The vampires have been around long time. That's not new. What's new is craziest. They found the time.
Yeah, it's the bizarre level that attracts them, or...
No, it's something new and fun. Something new and fun. Why do people get into free love, or whatever you call the flower children? Or,
yeah.
You know, because
it's
genre.
It's a novelty.
It is a novelty, and we would say a novelty, it's certainly an old novel concept that you're going
yeah.
back that far, you see. That's why we keep saying, you're saying it's a new fad. New fad, yeah, it's from the 1500s. It's a new fad, yeah. So when you do it that way, it's kind of like, yeah, what is so new about that? That's not really new. That's actually very old. But the embracing of it, this all started when you started really noticing in your meme what they call American Gothic.
Yeah, Goth. 15, 20 years ago, yeah.
Exactly. Well, that becomes their connection. Now, we didn't say it was the correct one, but then we don't have a correct one. So it's just their connection. It's where they found themselves connecting.
When you say American Gothic, do you mean Edgar Allan Poe stuff? Or
oh, we're talking about the rockers who
yeah.
wear black and worship the devil or whatever you want to call it today.
Leah Columbine.
You know, what?
Shooters
yeah.
at Columbine. There are more and more undead floating around. Or
no. Now, wait, get the words right. There are more and more undead being noticed. There's not more of them than have ever been. There's just more of them being noticed than have ever been.
They're being noticed because of the thinning of the veil.
They're being noticed because there's nothing else to tweet about.
I understood a month or so ago that Ryan was saying because of the thinning of the veil, more and more vampire people potential is happening.
No, more and more are being noticed by the other human creators because of the thinning of the veil.
Are these young kids noticing the vampires?
Certainly.
Where do they see them?
Have you ever been to a, what they call a nightclub?
Yeah.
That generation would subscribe to enjoying.
Yeah.
You understand they have mummification, they have what you call radical sex clubs and things like that that are very, very normal.
In the goth culture?
Gothic,
the last 15
yeah.
years? The last 15 years we're talking.
Well, I mean, you know, orgasms have been going on for a very long time, so we wouldn't want to just limit it to that. But the point of this going out to the graves in this particular world is from a culture that embraces it.
We were talking about clubs, goth clubs, last 15 years. A lot of
mummification, all kinds of funky stuff.
Yeah, people would go to the clubs dressed up as vampires.
No, they would go dressed all in black and pierced up and Sodom and Gomorrah-ish. And while they're there,
yeah.
they embrace the Dark Lord, they embrace this and that, and all these other little fun things that kids play with. Not much different than the Ouija board, which we don't have a problem with, but some do. So, you know, okay, you know, there you go. And then they would say that would just be the de-evolution of the world itself, of Judeo-Christian values in that world. All they're doing is embracing this something different, this new thing. And then embracing of that new thing takes on a meme, and they start noticing them. Then next thing you know, people start saying they are one. But just like your ascended beings, when you get ascended, you won't want to say, oh, by the way, I'm also an ascended being. Hello, my name is Bob Dobbs, and I'm an ascended being. And your healing begins when you can admit it, Bob. See, that's the problem with this 12-step program of admitting you're an alcoholic. Well, you admit you're an ascended being. The ascended beings will never go to an AB meeting.
The kids show up in the nightclub and saying they're vampires. And so likely they are.
Right. Because the one they become ascended, the last thing they would want is that exposure.
Did real vampires show up in the clubs?
They have been there for a very long time, Bob.
Where do they see real vampires?
Everywhere they go. Any concept that you embrace can become your reality, just like the crushing of your economy. You mean I went to a club and they said said the economy was crashing, and then I went home and my economy was crashed. Well, not exactly, but real close. Can't really tell much difference between it and the latter when you start looking at it that way. And it's kind of like, you mean, so I'm responsible for the crushing of my whole economy? And we go, yes, that's your responsibility as a human creator. So you want to play with that? Play with that. Because then what happens is you get yourself into a position where you go, wait a second, you mean I'm culpably responsible for everything in my reality? And we go, yes, now you're getting there. You mean I can create vampires? No, but you certainly can allow them to come into your experience. Well, wait a minute, you mean if I do that, I created them? Well, please yourself, but don't make that be an if-so facto reality that you're judging your reality by. But if you would like to have the experience, it certainly can be in your environment. And if it's in your environment, then guess what? It becomes a logical part of your world. Well, if it becomes a logical part of your world, then you can start having vampires for dinner and not eating them, enjoying a meal with vampires. And it's just that easy.
In this statement that people are noticing vampires because of the thinning of the veil, there's nothing to do with the kids reading books about them.
No, because those kids aren't reading books, Bob.
What are they doing?
They're at the clubs playing with vampires.
Mothers are telling their kids to read these books, is what we've heard.
Mm. And that certainly would send it into a perilous plight. Because what teenage kids going to listen to what their parents are saying?
They're more going to the movies, this new moon series.
Twilight. That's right, it's a movie thing. Harry Potter was celebrated because it got kids reading. Well, the next kids or the same kids are rebelling against reading and going to this movie Twilight phenomenon.
Because the undead are being glamorized.
Why do we call them undead?
Because they don't die.
But they have transitioned?
No, they have not.
Are vampires people who are still alive?
Yes, they can't die.
That would be what Bob and I and Carol are advocating, which we're saying we're getting rid of the guff, we're going to stay here. We're part of this vampire fad, because we could be seen as advocating vampirism.
No, because they're different. They're different. Vampires don't encompass a soul. That's the point.
Are vampires bodies that lose their soul but stay here?
Yes. There's a difference. Now, we're not saying they're the same, but just as they're saying that regular intercourse between humans that are still in their body is great and wonderful, well, but you also have then pornography, which would not be so pleasant. If you describe someone who didn't know what it was as pornography is the way to go, they may decide to abstain and not have a part of any of it. So we're not trying to wrap non-physical into including vampirism. We're just not having a problem with it. But the human creators, if we say, no, whatever you do, don't think of pink elephants, well, then the next thing you know, you're having a pink elephant party. You're trying to sell Mary Kay as pink elephants. And that's not what we're trying to embrace, because you human creators always want to mix it up for the contrast. That's no problem. But when you start mixing it up just for the mixing it up, then what happens? You confuse more than you help embrace. That's what we're trying to clean up here. Now, are there parallels between becoming an ascended being and being a vampire? Yes, the names have been changed to protect the innocent, but there are basic causal things that are referenced the same. But the difference between a vampire is they are immortal, but they do not have a soul. They are soulless. That's the difference. We're trying to get you to become an ascended man and keep your soul. Slight difference, you see, but we had to make a distinction.
The vampire stays in the physical without including the non-physical, because it says it's given up its soul. That would be its image of the non-physical. Well, that's the vampire error.
Here's the issue that's the error, is that vampires are created. A vampire has to bite you as a human to make their blood pump through when them feeding off you, when they don't kill you. If they give their blood back to you, then you also take that on and you become a vampire. So therefore, the human creator has to forfeit their soul
being that they have to forfeit their soul.
Right. But they certainly have the power to forfeit their very own soul. But if it's a rape where the vampire makes you a vampire, nope, that ain't working out. See, you got to line up with that. Well, that won't happen until you start going to the clubs to find out that it's really cool to be a vampire. Now they portray humans as lining up feeding vampires. It's a sexual thing that they get turned on by being sucked on by vampires.
Vampires need human blood?
That's all they eat.
So they eat human blood and in the process can give it back to you. They mm-hmm. eat you.
And if they do, then you become a vampire. But otherwise, they can just drain you dry.
And that becomes a sexual turn-on, is what you were saying. Some people do not want the blood given back to them. They don't want to become a vampire, but they want to be sucked on by a vampire.
They want to feed vampires, yes. And that's what your big movie thing is all about, is the allure of being different, because that's what they want to be, is themselves. Well, themselves is so they're different. Well, that becomes fun. Well, that becomes a meme, the same way that your economies rise and fall.
Did you say that people want to be fed on by vampires because they want to be different?
Special.
If there are vampires, there are people who are being eaten, their blood's being eaten by vampires? That's actually happening?
Every day.
So there are vampires.
Mm-hmm.
And they eat your blood.
They feed on your blood. That's all they eat.
So you'd have to line up with that to allow that to happen.
And if you didn't do that, if they could just harem, scare them, take you out, then you have no effectiveness or power as a human creator. You see how that could be a problematic?
It's not true a vampire could take you out and take your blood, because you have to want it.
And that's what they're trying to do with all this vampire movies and cool being a vampire and living it forever.
Are there some vampires in Hollywood who are trying to make it a fad?
Make it a fad? Yeah, because then it becomes silly and they can hide themselves in plain sight.
Do vampires have jobs? Is there any vampires in our community here, our compound?
They come and go.
They come and go to other worlds?
No, they come and go to your area.
Do they live here and pay rent?
They don't. They come and go. They're tourists.
Do vampires live anywhere in physical senses like we do?
Yes.
They have houses and pay their mortgage or rent?
They don't have mortgages. They've lived eternally, Bob. They've been here a long time. They own where they live.
So they find someone who's willing to be sucked on. Did they ever get reported?
No.
How come?
Okay, Bob, so here's what happens. One of three things. One, if they get bitten and they're fed off of, okay, then there's this experience that happens, just like with any other aberration, it becomes a turn-on for them. So they wouldn't have said anything, okay? Or the vampire sucks all their blood, and then they transition, okay? Or
that happens sometimes?
It does, more times than any other thing. That's where you find the lifeless body, blah, 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 with no blood. Happens all the time. What was their blood type? We don't know. We didn't find an ounce of blood in their whole body. All gone. That's probably not going to make the Washington Post, you see.
Why not?
Well, because how are they going to explain it? Science says you can't do that. People don't feed on blood.
All right, they don't want it out there. Okay. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And or clean it up. You find a bloodless body. Oh, they slit their wrist and committed suicide. All their blood drained out. Okay, now there you go. Or the third way to do it is that a vampire bites you, drinks your blood, okay, and then feeds you their blood.
How do they get it in you?
They open your mouth and they cut themselves in a place and let their blood flow into you.
Into your mouth.
Consume it. And once you do that, then it would be like Viagra at 1,000,000% potency. And then all of a sudden, you just crave to feed on others and you can't eat or drink or do anything else. You only consume human blood.
Then you say it makes you feel aroused?
Oh, yeah. It's a high, extreme high, because the vampires, how they're able to survive is their pH factor is now eliminated. They no longer rot. So your body whole genome structure would be changed.
How does one become a vampire?
You have to drink the blood of a vampire.
then your body genes are changed.
Right.
Then you can only live on blood, so you got to figure out how to eat it. And you get stoned on the blood, get aroused by it.
Mm-hmm.
How many vampires are there on North American soil today?
Up to 294,000.
A third of a million. Count's a little surprised at that.
They're not in mainstream.
They do have homes, though. They seem to be property owners.
They have to be where their caskets are.
Oh, they have to be.
Or the dark places that they sleep in the daytime.
Oh, they have to do that.
They are nocturnal.
Well, you get the blood, and it changes you. What caused the original blood to change humans? The first are vampire blood.
Well, are they going back to Vlad the Impaler? That's where it began. They were trying to become ascended man, so they didn't have to give up their soul and they have eternal life. But instead, they got the bastardized version of it, and they gave up their immortal soul but couldn't die. Got immortality without the ascension.
How did their bodies do that to them?
Well, you can do be or have anything.
So they were trying to, as they say in Buddhism, give up their ego, become spiritual, ascended man.
And instead, they forfeited the non-physical part of them that was the essence of their desire. And all they were left with was their meat sack body.
But they didn't do that with the intention of getting to that state.
They did it to get to that state. They just screwed it up from their disconnection of discounting the non-physical part that they are. So they lost contrast.
I'm trying to figure out what the first thing they did. They want to be immortal, and they somehow made their physical apparatus live forever.
By disconnecting themselves from their non-physical, but in their place of creation, before that takes place, they realized that they had achieved it, but it wasn't what they were trying to achieve, and then they were stuck with it.
What had they achieved that they realized they
had? Immortal life, eternal life.
How did the first vampire happen?
Vlad the Impaler.
He turned himself into something. He changed.
No, he did it by reputation, and the reputation then caught on, and people could embrace this position, and that's where it was birthed and born.
So Vlad the Impaler is a human being who killed a lot of people, impaled them on the stakes.
Right.
And the unforeseen consequence was that he remained stuck in his body, regardless of his desires and wantings. The public meme forced them to be stuck forever. We're not getting to what causes a human being to start eating another being's blood.
When you forfeit your non-physical, then nothing else will quench it but the blood.
When you forfeit the non-physical, you still have actually your non-physical.
No, you don't.
Oh, you can disconnect
you
yourself.
That's the point, yeah. The disconnection, and that's the bastardized version. Rather than transitioning, well, a vampire would transition, but they're stuck in their physicalness without a non-physical.
A vampire would transition, but they don't go into the non-physical. They transition into the physical.
Only physical.
How did Vlad come up with that bizarre situation in his mind to make his belief system activate his
body? By reputation.
His reputation was not about him being a vampire. They hadn't happened yet.
That was a side effect, Bob.
Of his reputation of being someone who could don't mess with him.
Right, and then he wanted to live eternally at all costs.
He said, I'm going to live eternal, and then he thought he had to do something?
He had to kill everybody that was in his experience to keep his throne. Then he realized that if he was mortal, that the earth and worm were going to claim his throne. So he's like, no, I'm going to live forever. Okay, and then he realized that if he was mortal, then he would lose his throne anyway because he would die.
Right, so he says, well, I don't want to lose my throne, so I must become immortal.
I need to embrace immortality. And then he started seeking out the information.
What is the information?
There was no information. He was seeking it. Well, but then there's always the aberrated version. So the black arts came into play, which were rampant of the day. Then he started embracing these memes. This was long before printing press.
What were the memes that he embraced?
Black magic.
When you embrace black magic, what behavior does that entail?
Okay. It's seeking out those that have the reputation that can control what you call magic. And if it's black magic or dark magic, then that's what you get on you.
Right.
You know, if you take a bath in dirty water, you get out dirty, but you still took a bath. Okay. But it depends on your source of influx. And if you embrace it, then you're the human creator and you have that power. Be, do, or have whatever you want to be, do, or have. Well, he wrapped himself around it to such a point that it caught on and that his body responded accordingly. And he forced separated himself from non-physical, and what he was left with was an immortal beingness that was without a soul.
He was the first to do that.
He was.
He did the reverse of ascended master.
Exactly. What some would call him a descended master. Okay, that's fun. That's why we were talking about the difference between receipt and deceit.
When's the last time he bit someone in this world?
Earlier today.
Where does he live?
Budapest.
He lost his castle?
He still owns his castle. His property, it's all decayed and fallen in. But his kingdom still owns his property. And they are descendants of him today. Still.
And they were bitten?
They were.
These people he bites usually like it. They don't die, right?
Well, it's a shock. It's like any experience, Bob. It's new.
Does he sneak up on them at the dinner in the kitchen or something?
No, not necessarily. Normally you have a great big fun weekend of debauchery. And then the next thing you know, they're like, well, you know, come into my parlor, send the spider to the fly.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, you kind of open yourself up to it. And this is a little strange, and he's a little weird. But the brown party liquor's good. And, you know, the hot chicks are over at Vlad's house. So let's go over there and play. And, you
okay.
know, how does anything happen like that, just that way? And then the next thing you know, they've embraced that process and go, this is very interesting. I'm not so sure, but it really looks good. It feels good. It seems good. They're cool. And the next thing you know, you're bit. But then once then three choices happen. They either suck you dry and you're dead, or they can suck you and not completely drain you. If you're turned on by it, then to this point you become a feeder, a blood donor. Well, the American Red Cross is a big proponent of that even today, aren't they? Well, same thing is the case. It helps others live. The third option is that Vlad the Impaler would feed you his blood and make you also a vampire. The other two aren't vampires. You can be bitten by a vampire and become one.
If you don't like it, you might be killed?
Don't like what?
Well, you get bitten and you end up dying. Is that because
they drain all your blood?
Well, what makes them drain all your blood?
Well, they were thirsty.
Whereas another one, they don't drain all of you. And
correct. That's the individual human creator participating in that act.
How many people has Vlad, quote, killed in this process over the last many hundreds of years?
Probably 2.5-3 million. He did almost that many during his reign in Transylvania.
Does the Interpol and the FBI know about this?
They certainly do.
Now, of course, the 418 group knows about him.
They do.
Is he a well-known figure in Budapest society?
Not now, no.
He's like in the underground and people find his parties and show up.
Well, not even like that now. His orgy days aren't quite what they used to be.
Why not?
So much calmer. Well, because it's a much calmer experience. He just hides in his own world. Because, see, they can go into this, what you call hibernation, what bears do, and they can sleep for a very long time.
Like for 2 years?
At least, yes.
Is his house in Budapest noticed by neighbors?
No.
So he could sleep for years, no one knows he's there.
Exactly.
But the police knows he is a murderer through vampirism.
Not now, but they did then.
When's then?
When he was the ruler.
Oh, yes, hundreds of years ago.
Of course. But
the FBI wasn't then, if you believe linear history.
Exactly. There wasn't even a Politburo then.
Right, so does any police people know that there are people dying around him?
Not around him, that they're dying.
knows he's doing this.
Correct.
There are some, though, that like it and join him.
Of course.
So when you're a vampire, do you have vampire orgies, vampire parties?
Yeah, parties. You wouldn't have all the vampires. If you have parties and it's only vampires, well, what are they going to do, suck each other's blood? No.
Yeah.
They just have to participate in other parties. And then that turns into a whole meme of your American Gothic, and then that's where the young kids are hanging out.
Right, but hold it. So the vampires, they can't thrive on their own blood. They have to have human blood.
Correct.
Do they have big teeth like they show in Hollywood?
No, it's not like that at all.
It's just the pressure of the mouth on your shoulder blades.
It's your carotid artery or your femoral artery.
That's around your neck area?
Carotid is in your neck, but ephemeral is in your groin, the big vein that they rip to do your open heart surgeries. Any of them are in your healthcare profession because they have good access to lots of blood.
They can just drink it.
Well, right.
They don't have to bite into somebody.
Correct. Or if you're really ripped up in a car wreck, you become a nice aperitif.
So what kind of positions would they be in hospitals?
Surgeons, ER, and of course all of your what you call infectious disease doctors for sure.
If I walked by a vampire, would I be able to, with my sensitivities, be able to pick up something? Or they?
You would smell something different about them. You know how you can smell most people? We're speaking about you because we know you. And then some people, you'd notice if they had no smell or absence of smell, that would be a tip-off for you.
They don't smell. They don't stink.
Right. They don't stink. And most people have an odor, good, bad, or indifferent. You would find it odd if you had someone in your experience that looked like they weren't there.
Right.
No odor, no beingness. And you'd feel and pick up on that.
So this is the first time that vampirism has been explained, unless you were a vampire, you'd know they existed. But those not in the know, has this ever been explained like you've done?
No.
If you went to a party and there were vampires there, how could you extricate yourself out of that?
Don't embrace it.
Let's say I was attracted to a woman at the party.
Then you might as well give it up because you're done.
Since I'm married, I'm not inclined to doing that. Then I'm protected. As long as I don't have an affair, I'm okay, right?
You don't have to sleep with a vampire. You just got to keep from getting bit by a vampire.
Yeah, well, how do you avoid that?
How do you avoid rape and pillage and murder? And
you don't fear it.
Absolutely. You understand it. And then some of your best friends could then become vampires because, you know, you're not pushing against them.
Do they do sneak attacks on people?
No. They're not that powerful. They are like non-physical. They have no soul. They have contrast. So they're left without power. They're very powerful, but they're not as powerful as a human creator.
You said that vampires couldn't reproduce because they didn't have a soul.
Once you come into this anomaly of what you call non-physical, then when you have describing vampires themselves, they're the absolute opposite. You see, you're physical with non-physical part. The non-physical part of you is the same as all non-physical. Well, with vampires, it's just the opposite. They become individual non-physical because they're dead, remember? And their anomaly is that they are connected from their physical component. So it's exactly the opposite that we're trying to get you to understand, the meat sack with the non-physical, with the labyrinth of the abide. A true vampire. Now, this isn't one becoming a vampire. There's a difference because you can do, be, or have anything. But the specifics of that are from its inception of beginning. For example, the reason that they are sensitive to silver is because the pieces of silver that Judas got from selling out Christ from the Sanhedrin was the beginning place. It's beginning place in your mythical history and was the first what you call undead.
the soldier piercing Christ's side, yes. Was the piercing with silver, or was the piercing something else?
That was with a sword, and it was bronze. But that was just another example. But that's why the vampires are sensitive to silver. And the reason was is the silver that was fashioned with the coins were the parts that were used in the beginning of what you call vampirism, how they became sensitive. Because it was that he drank the silver, melted silver, smelted silver, when he offed himself as Judas, made a silver tea.
And then that became the myth that the vampires took on as something to be offended by?
Oh, we didn't say it was a myth.
So that became the reason.
Yeah.
How did Vlad, the first person, know the story of the silver?
Because they're opposite. Their physical knew it.
Mm-hmm.
Just as you have the 100 monkey syndrome,
mm-hmm.
They share non-physical. Well, the unquieted dead or recently undead then become, it's just the opposite. They're attached physically from the meat sack part. It goes on forever. So therefore, they have no capacity for accessing self to cause recreation.
So that gets to the answer of why they can't conceive or reproduce. They do not have access to the guff.
They don't share that corresponding aspect.
Is there something more that I could know here that I'm not asking?
Yes, the way they digest the whole plasma protein. Your body, the way it works now in physical, you understand that process.
Mm-hmm.
Where the bone marrow makes whole, or what you call red blood cells. That production process from the marrow into the fullness of the water content of the body. Well, the opposite is true, how they digest it. It is absorbed in, they drink it, whole plasma. It's just the protein more than it is anything. You know, there'd have to be different blood types.
You mean they drink it for the protein? Is that what you're saying? Yeah, okay.
And
they drink
it. It's absorbed into the bone.
Yeah.
Where in the humans, it comes from the marrow in the production
mm-hmm.
of blood. Well, they consume the blood, and rather than digest it, they absorb it into their marrow. Exactly the opposite process.
Do they produce any of their own RBCs?
No, they don't bleed. Well, they do bleed, but they don't bleed the way you bleed. For them, bleeding would be the same as you vomiting. You see, a regurgitation process.
Yeah.
Same thing is true.
And if they're cut, do they just seep out
serum
or anything?
Nope.
Nothing comes out.
Right, because it's different.
Is there anything else that you could tell me that I'm not asking?
Yes, they eliminate platelets. They have no function of use for platelets.
Yeah, because they don't need that blood clotting factor.
Right, that's what they would eliminate.
And how do they eliminate them?
Well, just through the normal digestion process.
So they will urinate and defecate like humans?
There's not a urine that's created because all of their juiciness is the part that they hunger for. And once they are complete, they stop. Meaning they won't go on a feeding frenzy just to be something to do. That once they get, they're filled and they're good.
Do they eat food?
No, that's not required.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now let's be clear. Let's be very specifically clear. Do regular humans drink blood?
No.
But if you bust your lip, do you know what blood tastes like, though? On the occasion, it's not offensive if you, like you say, you know, bust a lip and swallow some of that blood. Or some people will cut their finger and rather than make a mess with the blood, they'll just put it in their mouth. That sounds a little odd to us, but you do it. So humans can have the propensity to consume a thimble full of blood on occasion, okay?
vampires in the public eye, how do they cover the fact that they are not eating food?
Most of your models, they get rich by not eating food. It's all relative. Oh, sorry, I already ate. That'd be true. Now, because they suck blood out of humans, then that's a bad thing. Remember, humans get real funny about that. They don't care for this miscegenation process. They do it all the time, but they don't care for it. When they finish or complete creating synthetic whole plasma, then they'll be able to be fit into your society. Just like those gay and lesbians speaking their rights, so shall they. But it's got to be open. Now, they're already making synthetic blood, you know that. But it's not very nutritious, meaning it doesn't taste very good. But they have access. Isn't it interesting that the founder of the Red Cross was a vampire?
If they're drinking synthetic blood and therefore they're not sucking the lifeblood out of humans, they're not a threat, will they go public?
Well, they kind of already have. They're not like Ellen DeGeneres, where they make it their reason for existing, but they are starting to fall into this fringe area of being part of the anomaly. They test everything, and then they see if they can stand it, and they test it and see if they can stand it, and then they fight for their rights.
Is there something else to enlarge upon here with the vampires that would be useful?
They don't have the same protein exhibited. For example, they don't grow fingernails or hair. They can maintain their genotype, meaning some people are hairy, some people aren't. You see, whatever hair they have when they go into vampirism, it sort of gets frozen there. They don't have to get haircuts, and they don't have to cut fingernails. The collagen, the natural collagen part, you would say it would be excess collagen that goes into the nail growing part, correct?
Right.
Well, collagen isn't the very best word, but it's the word. They don't create that, so whatever they have, it just stays there.
Yes.
It doesn't rot or decay, but there's no excess.
Began with saying an anomaly, and I'm not sure if in the opening sentence you said the non-physical itself is an anomaly. Did you say that?
For them.
For vampires, okay.
Well, now let's ask you a question. What is your definition of an anomaly?
Something that doesn't fit, I guess, the rules of the collective mind or the culture.
Okay, good. Very good. Now, that doesn't mean that it's an anomaly. Like Carolyn was said, it's for them. See, they become the exception rather than the rule. From your society's understanding, they become outside themselves. Well, if they're human and they transfer to a vampire, well, see, they may be against their own rules. What they call themselves an abomination. They come from physical. So that's the anomaly, is if it's against their own rules, that becomes very problematic. Let's say Bob converts to vampire, and Bob, you, have great big issues with the rules and regulations regarding vampires.
Oh, I see.
And then you become one, well, that could suck, you see, and swallow.
He meant before I became a vampire, I had rules against vampirism.
Right.
And then I got sucked on and became one.
Right.
No, it doesn't work that way. You have to drink their fluids.
Okay. So I become a vampire, and then I have to adjust my rules to being this new situation.
Or be judged by those same rules. Carolyn,
yeah.
I knew what you were asking now. We explained this thoroughly, but we didn't say the words. The spear that pierced Jesus' side, it was bronze, but it was wooden otherwise. And that's why that wooden stake through the heart of a vampire is what will take them out. But it has to be the same wood that was formed of his cross, which is an ash wood.
Yeah, so it's just the way you use the word anomaly.
anomaly. I thought you were saying the non-physical is, in general, for humans, is an anomaly. You don't mean that.
Well, if you have rules against non-physical, then yes, we do.
Okay.
Then we have an example. It would be like taking a deist and convincing them that the reason that their life is screwed up is because they have bad feng shui. See? They have rules against that, so that would mess them up. They wouldn't have that.
Instead, are you saying a deist would have rules against feng shui?
Well, yeah, because they don't believe in that, you see. The same way that you do convince a Buddhist that quenching desire is a desire. That's what they're all about.
The next point is that humans come out of non-physical and produce a physical. The vampire
emulate physical in the form of a meat sack.
Emulate physical.
Yes.
Don't emulate non-physical. We emulate physical in the form
of... You are non-physical.
And we
emulate physical.
We put it on like clothes, in a way.
A meat sack, yes. Very good.
So for us, the ground of our clothing is the non-physical. For the vampire, he can't have non-physical as his ground, so he makes the physical his ground, and that is the blood he needs.
Yes.
The physical becomes his, quote, non-physical sustenance. His being, his ground, and then he has a different kind of clothing with that ground.
We would say their marrow changes. They have a different kind of bone marrow. Good.
Okay, someone has to make the decision to be a vampire, and are we calling vampires the undead?
Yes.
The vampire's a particular kind of undead.
Yes. One transitioning into...
Do you begin to transition to become a vampire and then you don't transition all the way and you come back? Is that how you become a vampire?
No, no, no. You convert. Some people are born Jewish and some people convert. Well, that's the story of the vampire.
And you convert by getting into drinking blood.
No, a vampire feeds on you, and if that's all that happens, no problem. But if they then don't either just drink some of you, and then they regurgitate their blood back into you, then you take on the antibodies, and your marrow then transforms into vampire.
So the vampire sucks your blood, and then you agree to drink the blood that was sucked out of you.
No, no. They choose whether or not to convert you. They make you. They are your maker.
And then you are going to drink their blood, which has a bit of you and everybody else they've sucked in them.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Very good, very good. Just like all your protein bases. If it's protein, it's protein, it's protein. Very good. That's why you can eat feces and not die.
Why is that?
Because it's protein.
So then...
Digested, but it's still protein. It's why urine is sterile.
Because it's pure protein?
No, it's not protein, but it comes through the whole process of the body. So it's sieved and filtered, so it's actually sterile.
Is feces sterile?
No, it's not in the same field, because it's what you eliminate. So you could have poisonous feces, but the stool itself is just the digested processes of your taking protein into your body. So it's just the flip side opposite.
There was a famous movie by John Waters around 1973, which had the gay guy Divine in it. And at the end, he ate the doctor's, the dog's feces. But was he a vampire?
Then he was not. But he did become, just because of his attraction to it, because remember, you humans can do beer, have anything.
And he was into being perverse.
Well, he just was a shock jockey. It wasn't about perverse. Whatever they say you can't do, that's what he'd do.
Did the director, John Waters, become a vampire?
No. Intrigued by them.
And since he was good friends of Divine?
It's like a moth to the flame taboo kind of thing.
And he knew Divine became a vampire? Does he know that?
No, he didn't.
Because he was the kind of person who'd be attracted to the fringe like that. And he
Tales movies.
Yeah.
Twilight is the new flaming fad that's engaged by your young people.
Now back to the sequence of questions. Judas Iscariot, did he become a vampire?
No.
No, because Vlad the Impaler was the first.
That's correct. And he was the basis of that process.
Vlad the Impaler was impressed by the Christian story. He identified with Judas Iscariot, so took on the silver aspect, the drinking of silver, as his way of doing what, Carolyn?
Well, when he came into the vampire-ness, I guess he had to have rules about how vampires acted. What will make them live? What will make them die? So it sounds
like... And he was none of those. All he was a ruler who was desperately fighting to maintain his power, his kingship. Mm-hmm. And his idea was that he would invite folks to his little castle, his little kingdom, and they'd drive for miles and miles and see human beings impaled on stakes. He was glad, the impaler. He would cut their heads off and put them on sticks. Well, those assimilated ideologies became the representation of that very thing that was from Judas Iscariot.
How was the impaling of people related to Judas Iscariot?
It was Thale's rules that he used that others laid a label on him and he embraced.
When you say he, do you mean Judas or Vlad?
The impaler.
Why is the impaling of people connected to Judas Iscariot?
Not.
Judas died because he drank silver.
30 pieces of silver that he received for turning over, or the kiss, Judas's kiss, that made them point out of the witness against Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was paid by the Jews, the Sanhedrin, to get rid of this Jesus person who was messing up their world. And he tried to give the silver back because he recanted, because he realized, wait a minute, if I don't want to get paid for this, it's bad enough what I did. You know, it's one thing to have sex, but it's another thing. They call you a different name if you get paid for it. And they said, no, you take that silver. You earned it, baby. Thanks for the fish. And then he used that then as a position of not being happy with his choice, and then had the silver smelted and drank it.
Knowing it would kill him.
Yeah.
How soon did he do that after Christ transitioned?
Moon and a half.
6 weeks. Yeah.
Now that reminds me of how the followers of Moses melted down the golden calf and drank it. And died.
Correct. And also, you have those scientists about you, and you gave reference to this to us also, in reference with manna being ionized gold falling from the heavens, is what the consistency of manna would compose as well.
Drinking of the smelted gold, was that something known by Judas when he drank the smelted silver?
No. The receiving of silver was the deal breaker for Judas. See, Peter denied Christ more than Judas did. They built a church on him. Judas couldn't live with his decision. Judas then realized that he was used because he was Jesus' best bud. Judas was closer to Jesus than Peter was close to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Vlad the Impaler, because he knows physical things, knew that silver was a way to off oneself.
He knew that silver was the way to off yourself.
So that explains how he began to think of using silver as the way that he could be offed, and the ash stake as a way to off himself. So that just came into his knowing, and that's the answer to those things.
And that's what he did to anyone who was a prognosticator of getting rid of his empire. So if you crossed Vlad the Impaler, that was your fate.
What was your fate?
Impalement, or a silver cocktail.
So either impalement or a silver cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
How did it become something that could also kill vampires?
From the beginning place of the condition, the human response, what you call looking for a reason, it became part of the rules and regulations of how those were confined.
It comes from Vlad because he created the whole meme. Whatever he said lived.
Then the empirical reference to use was old, and used that as the rules and regulations to form vampirism.
Impaling was what, sticking them on a cross or something?
Well, no. You know, a shish kebab, when you put meat on a stick, well, he would take the stick and insert it from the rectum all the way through their head and hang them out to rot. So people driving by saying, let's not F with Vlad the Impaler or this will be our fate.
Yeah, he'd impale them or give them silver.
Or chop their head off and place it on a sharpened stick.
They'd be on the road to his castle.
Yes, indeed.
I think I saw a movie, something referred to that, Carol, that scene. Devils of Loudon, based on a novel, Aldous Huxley wrote?
Yeah, there's many references, not just there.
Okay.
Lon Chaney gave the best black and white renditions of this whole process as well.
Did he act out Vlad the Impaler? Oh, okay. And he was a vampire celebrating his own religion, so to speak.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, he made a movie celebrating his own...
Lots of them. And I'd say another one who really embraced that, not so much from the vampire world, would have been Vincent Price. Talk about typecasting. But now he was not. He was regular human, you see, just in a movie. But anything in that spookiness or occult or... You have many different references that you use, but the thriller, mystery, Agatha Christie was a much closer to embracing vampirism herself personally than, say, a Vincent Price, who was just an actor who was typecast, and then it stuck. You see, so everybody that had a spooky part of the movie, of course, Vincent Price was their man.
Agatha did not become a vampire.
No, but she was much closer to embracing it than someone, say, like a Vincent Price, who would be known as that, you see.
Did Vincent Price know Lon Chaney?
They didn't cross much. I think Lon Chaney was much, much, much what you call earlier than Vincent Price. It would be like the Elvis Presley folks. They may have seen Elvis Presley as a kid, and then they want to go in those same steps or same processes. They absolutely may have met Lon Chaney. They did overlap a bit, but they weren't like in the same movie kind of thing.
And Vincent never knew that Lon was a vampire.
Correct.
So Vlad the Impaler says, okay, silver, I use that to kill people. And in my new guild of vampires, if a vampire wants to die, transition, it drinks silver?
Nope.
Okay, so what's the silver point, Carol?
A silver stake through the heart.
No, a wooden stake through the heart, like the spear.
What was the issue with silver?
Silver was what Judas drank, and all vampires then have an aversion.
Oh, just an aversion.
Silver, like, do you remember in the movies they try to kill him with silver bauxite bullets or have silver rope that they can bind them? It doesn't kill them. It's just offensive. Garlic is a good example. Garlic doesn't hurt a vampire. It's just not their flavor, not their...
It's a way to make them run away.
Yeah, it would be like if they invite you over to dinner and say, Bob, we're going to have feces-flavored Snicker bars. And you'd go, no thanks, I'm good. It would offend you. Well, that's the same thing with them.
So Judas used silver to kill himself. Vlad takes the image of silver as... Is there a reasoning why he doesn't like silver?
Because it's because of Judas drinking the silver. Set the rules. It set the boundaries. He just uses the rules that the church made of what happened to Judas, and the printing press gets hold of it and puts it in a recordable way of, if you're going to be a vampire or Vlad the Impaler, these are your things, just like Judas. And so you keep stepping that through your transition to time.
Transition to time through the printing press effect.
It was a little before that, because before the printing press, people did write things down, Bob.
Right. The manuscript culture, that really solidified the Christian meme.
And who were the smart ones that could read and write?
The priests.
Exactly. Thank you.
So Vlad decided that silver was verboten to vampires because why?
In the Christian world, Judas is the all-time big boy bad guy.
And the vampire
are vampires.
And vampires are bad boys from the Christian point of view. So the vampire is like the Black Mass or the Satanic Bible. They are anti-Christian.
So is the church.
The church is anti-Christian from Ion's
point of view.
Yeah, from Ion's point of view.
Well, yeah.
Okay, hold on. Okay, vampire is a rebel. If the Christians are into it, the vampire isn't. If the Christians believe in life after death, the vampire says, I ain't going. I'm staying here. Correct?
Right.
That rebellion.
And they walk the earth, and they walk the earth for all days.
So that monk
that speared Christ.
Wasn't a monk, it was a Roman soldier.
Yeah, sorry, he's a monk now in the Tibetan monastery or someplace up there in the mountains.
Well, okay.
I don't know if he's a monk, but he's up there in the Tibetan
monastery. Right, good, thank you.
Is he a vampire?
No.
He's an undead like the vampires or a substance?
His curse is forced to walk the earth for all days.
No, you said it earlier that until Christ comes back, you said that. Is
oh, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. But see, yes.
Which means if he accepts himself as being God, then he'll free himself.
That's correct. But hasn't yet.
So he's not connected to vampirism. It's just that his spear was made of ash wood, and then Vlad said, okay, the rule around my cult is that ash wood can kill us.
Mm-hmm.
So you can kill a vampire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can force him into non-physical.
By driving an ashen stake through the heart.
That's the only
way. He won't go to the guff. Where does he go?
He just dismisses his physical in a non-physical world. He evaporates.
And then he's in the non-physical.
No.
And does he go to the guff eventually?
No. No.
Why?
Because he's already done that part of transition. When they convert from a human to vampire, they already reverse the process. They are basically then already undead.
He's already given up his non-physical by becoming a vampire.
And humans create the non-physical, so the humans can go to the non-physical and the guff, but if you kind of try to be non-human and reverse that process, then you cut off your access to the guff.
There's nothing left to go to the guff, that's all.
But everybody has a non-physical, whether they like it or not.
Yes, but when you transfer from human to vampire, then if there's any non-physical part of you, that's the part then that would transcend and go to the guff. The moment you become vampire.
What transcends and goes to the guff?
The non-physical part of a human who transforms into a vampire.
Ah.
Their non-physical leaves the non-physical and disconnects from the vampire.
Correct. And we say go to the guff, but the truer way to describe it is their non-physical is absorbed.
You can't get rid of the non-physical.
Yes, but you can absorb it.
You can absorb it, and then you're left with this residue. Is the vampire a residue? No, because it's a residue you can't see. You can see a vampire.
There's no non-physical with a vampire.
Right.
Humans can create the guff, and therefore the humans can create the anti-guff. You see, the human can create the vampire. You can have Bidu have... So Vlad created something. The reverse process of being in staying in the physical. Because the human can create something, that's why Vlad created the vampire. And the rules of the vampire, and yet he gives up the non-physical.
Okay, Vlad had a soul.
That which is non-physical, right? That's what you mean by the word soul.
And then he had a reputation of being a bad boy. Then when he came into the full essence of vampiredom, which he embraced as a human physical with a soul, then he finally transformed or transfigured. The transfiguration is interesting. When he transfigured into vampire, then his soul was then at that point absorbed. Now, sometimes Catholics would call that absolved, but it's actually absorbed into not necessarily the guff, but yes. The easiest words, so you'll understand it, is yes, it becomes a seasoning of the gulf.
It was absorbed into realms of heaven.
Good. That's perfect. That's perfect. That's perfect. That's perfect. Now, 11 months and 6 days from now, if you want to go a little deeper into that process, we certainly will. And you might be closer to a saying aha moment. But for right now, that's good enough. That states it clearly, but there's a little more that could be referenced.
So the human can create anything. If you want to create the phenomenon of vampirism, you can do it. And Vlad did it. But it was a bouncing off the meme established by Christianity that you had a soul and all the myths of Christianity. He had to have that to react against, to dive off of, to create a counter meme.
Good.
You could not have done that before Christianity.
Oh, yes, you could. That was the mummification process that the Christians borrowed from ancient Egypt.
Okay, so that's another topic, mummification, right. What all that is. Okay, so you
that could... was the example. Everything is on example. So, yes, very good.
Mm-hmm. What's very good? The mummification.
That you got us to the place
of
tying it all back together to the point of letting humans understand just what a large dynamic they actually have capacity to engage.
So the undead is those that are lingering, like here in the compound, waiting for a reason to commit suicide. There's that definition of the undead. Another undead is those that don't fully transition and come back and possess people.
Don't make the guff quite so dynamic, because you're right, those are correct. But now legion, if you are possessed by a spirit, that could be a residue spirit that you can engage. So there's a twofold process. The one is the one you're describing, but the other one would be...
What's the one I just described? The vampire or
described, you have...
The possession, just the possession.
Possession,
yeah.
Yes.
Now the other one is...
It's also possession, but it's not from a spirit that's transcended, not a residue part.
There is the residue version, now you're going to the non-residue version.
That is correct. The non-residue effect would be when you embody. We'll give an easy example. Let's say you decide to transition and Carolyn's not having it.
Carolyn holds me back.
Hell no, you are not. You SOB are not going to leave
me. She holds me back. We've discussed this before.
That's correct. Now, that's not residue. See, she physically...
And how am I held back? I do not transition. I stay here. I might get in a coma
or
something.
Your spirit, no.
Oh, I have transitioned. Yeah.
No.
Not totally transitioned. Yeah.
They buried the body.
Yeah, when a spirit decides to transition, one of the factors that prevents it from transitioning is allowing the lived ones or loved ones to hold you here.
Good.
Like I'm doing in McLuhan.
That is exactly correct. Now, you can take all or part, but let's say Carolyn won't let you go. Okay? And that's a good example.
When you say that's a good example, you mean McLuhan's a good example.
It is. Yeah. And then the more embraceable one for others... would be the husband-wife situation.
Yeah.
Now, historically, if you look at somebody that's been married for a very long time, many times within a year to a year and a half, the mate will pass when the other mate does.
And that's a releasing for both of them, because the one who passes second held the first who passed to the second, and then waited, and the second one passed, and they both transitioned together.
Very good. That's exactly correct.
Are there 250,000 vampires on the planet now, or 2.5 million?
2.5 million. 250,000 would be in Los Angeles proper.
When Lon Chaney became a vampire, what number was he, so to speak? A million? A million since Vlad?
Probably.
2.5 million vampires on the planet.
Actually, even a little more, but yeah.
Yeah.
I think they become, and then some get staked.
The vampires forfeit their soul. How else can a person lose their soul?
Many ways. Define that qualification that you want to go into. You are the human, okay, and you have all power. And you are connected all through your non-physical. So anytime you separate yourself from you, that's actually what's taking place. But it's sometimes in degrees.
Yeah, it's not irrevocable.
Correct. Bob went right to it. That's the point of like blaspheming the Holy Spirit. That's the only unpardonable sin kind of thing. Well, that's just because you separate yourself from you, which is source. That's one of the main ones is, but now there are many different aspects.
Yeah, you could put this into the 6 degrees or more of separation.
Or more, yeah.
Now, you see, you go in these digressions and we forget the theme that's very vibrant a minute ago, and the theme was something like...
Would you like to know?
Yeah, if you can tell me, sure, tell me. What was it?
It's the opposite of the process of the human condition. You have a non-physical, and you embrace a meat sack. Okay, that's the way the humans do it. And then when you get rid of the meat sack, then you have only left with what you...
she started with, which was non-physical. Non-physical then transitions to the guff. Now, we know that's in different levels or degrees, okay, but all of those apply. Well, a vampire is just the opposite. It converts the non-physical and makes physical be the part that all vampires share. And the non-physical is their individual identity that allows them to walk the earth.
Non-physical is the vampire's identity?
No, the physical is their identity.
Yeah, but you said non-physical.
The part that all vampires share is the physical part, not the non-physical part.
Right.
The vampire, it's exactly the opposite the way the human condition works.
Yeah.
All components are there, but the focus is very different. A vampire is of himself, in physical, the most important part. Okay? And the non-physical part is what allows vampires to know that others are vampire.
Yeah, I want to explain this. You see, Ion wants us or helps us to live forever. And if we live forever, we're stuck with these vampires who are living forever with us. How are we going to relate to these vampires? I think that's what the question is here. What are we supposed to do? What's our policy? What do we think of this? So, this is the new topic here.
Would Ion recommend that they are given rights?
No, we would not recommend it, but that will be the outcome.
And what will be their rights?
That they have a right to be on the planet.
And proselytize and convert people.
Or, since they're not running around using the humans to feed on, that the imitation synthetic plasma
blood will
that brings them sustenance makes them a non-threat.
That's
them have no soul, so that offends non-physical, because they have no non-physical. So
this
that's why Ion would not recommend that we support them.
Yes, we can't stop them because they are.
The humans can be whatever they want. Here's the thing.
Yeah, you can be happy or not, and non-physical has to get over that.
In the era of the veil, there was a contrast when people came here. There always is contrast, but that was a particular cultural contrast of feeling separate from the non-physical. Once the veil is thinned, we're going to have a new variation of the contrasting archetype. There'll be contrast between the vampires who stay here as an ideology and those that stay here voluntarily and willing to transition any time. See, a new kind of contrast.
Yeah. In this apocalypse, isn't that what we're trying to get the regular humans to do?
Is to stay here.
And they're physical.
But while recognizing non-physical. And the vampires say, we do not recognize the non-physical, but we want
They'd to. They'd like to, they just can't.
Because they joined the powerful meme that Vlad created. This is the first time humans have ever understood this, right, Ion? But we're hearing.
Well, we hope they're understanding it, but yeah.
The vampirism was an opposite kind of imbuing. The Ark of the Covenant was imbued with charisma, and the objects were imbued, the crystal.
The hidden source of power.
Hidden source of power. The vampirism, Vlad, created another imbued phenomenon. He imbued disconnecting and non-physical, staying in the physical.
It would be outbued.
Outbued. Yeah, he outbued. That's what I meant. I knew he was the opposite of something. He created and imbued a phenomenon that people merge with and get effects from by becoming vampires. It's a powerful arc of the covenant.
His infomercial was, if you come beating around here, you're going to get shish kebabbed. Your payment is going to be shish kebabism. We're going to convert you to shish kebabs. And his infomercial was, if you come traipsing around here and try to get it up in my business, I'm going to put you on the stick, and I'm going to pay you with a stick. If you pay me with your presence, I'm going to pay you with a stick.
You get
and that
stuck.
Became a fear. Yeah, and you will
that
be
became,
stuck.
And that became
correct.
A fear, and then he fine-tuned it into vampirism.
He didn't know or care. But
yeah. How about this? He was afraid to go into non-physical. He thought he'd go to hell, so he said, I got to stay here.
That's okay. He didn't care much, but that's as good as any because, yes.
Yeah, he didn't care, but he said, well, maybe any human would get paranoid and go, they may be stronger than I am here, so they're probably waiting to get me, so I'm staying here.
Right, because he's like, wait a minute, I've passed out lots of toothpicks for everybody. body.
Yeah, because if he kind of embraced Judas and some of that Christian stuff, did he embrace hell?
No. He knew there was a potential retribution. Now, there's not. But he was afraid and built a fear campaign regarding it.
He wanted to control the fear. It's like, I'm not going to be afraid. If I can make everybody else fearful, then I'm the controller of fear.
Yeah, but there is the unknown part. If I transition, I'll get nailed. So I'm going to stay here. And what did he do? How did he make up the first act of creating vampirism? Like, he says, okay, I'm going to stay here, and I probably need blood to stay here, so I'm going to get blood from people. Like, what was his first thinking, looking for a reason to substantiate staying here?
Okay, here's what happens. There are others around that feed his synchronicity of this thought process. For example, if you want to find out about Ion, you are drawn to this work, and it becomes a synchronicity among human creators regarding this work. Now, you embrace it, you learn more, you make sure it doesn't offend you, make sure it fits into your paradigms, and that the vicissitudes don't offend your platitudes, and to the point that it becomes something that you would embrace. Well, he drew like-minded folks to him in his hierarchy of his fear campaign, and then the dynamics became very clear from the empirical references of Judas Iscariot, of all the different dynamics that came into, and so that became the fastest path to Vlad the Impaler's joy, is to confound the world system with this anomaly that didn't fit the mold of what the Judeo-Christian world provided as the only answer. Turn or burn. Well, he didn't turn nor burn.
So he went the third way.
But always it'll squirt out somewhere else, you see, when you try to put them in a box. Just like you, Bob, they always squirt out on the other end of the tube.
I'm wondering how Vlad decided that blood would keep him going.
Because blood is what the Christian church was based upon.
Yeah, the blood of Christ.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Okay, so then he said the blood of my victim will save him?
Well, he wanted some of God's blood.
So he
was God.
He imbued blood with power, and he started to drink it. Get it, and that kept him going in his mind.
And got power, and that's right. And your Christian church, when they take communion with the transubstantiation, they say that the bread becomes the flesh of Christ and the wine becomes the blood of Christ that you take into your system. Perfect.
Yes. You don't drink the blood of Christ, you drink the wine, which is the living symbol of it. He did the opposite. He said, okay, I'm going to take the literal blood.
Correct. He took them at their word.
And did we already discuss this the last session? We talked about Vlad still alive. He's still around.
He absolutely is.
Where is Vlad today?
In a very, 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 very nice tomb in Bucharest.
Oh, they can live in tombs. That's the old
thing. They do live in tombs because they got nothing but time.
So they stay in coffins. That was the old thing. Vampires came out of coffins at night.
No, it's not so much that. You should see the tomb. It's vast.
Where is it?
Bucharest.
Oh, it's in Bucharest.
Now, we have to be careful because sure as we say Bucharest, they'll change the name of the country and it'll become some other form of Prussia.
Did Lon Chaney meet him?
No.
But Lon Chaney's still here.
Yeah.
They're all still here. Does the Pope know where Vlad the Impaler is?
Yes.
So the church keeps track of this.
Sure.
They're experts on all this
stuff. Well, thanks that the dogmatic regime that makes space for those like Vlad to be.
What's interesting, Karen, we're learning a lot about the guff and the levels of heaven, the realms of heaven, from Ion. But the church was part of creating the levels of heaven and the guff and all that, because they created a veil, and the caveman didn't have this, so to speak.
And the contrast thereof.
Yes. And the contrast thereof. They're experts on all this. So we are learning what the Vatican knows by bringing in a new premise of non-falsity to watch it evaporate, this world that the Vatican controls and lives on and feeds off of. That whole meme that the church... They're experts on all this.
Beer.
Does the Vatican understand vampires? Do they know they exist?
Sure. That's why they make stances or not. The church has no official statement on this exorcism. You see?
Do they try to exorcise vampires, known vampires?
No, but they bundle them together in all this abomination business.
Which is not a bad statement. They're representing non-physical. We do not support vampirism.
Oh, now, good luck with that. Not so much.
Yeah, they stand righteous with so many limitations within their concepts of everything.
They wrongly stand righteously.
So that's pretty well the end of the vampire topic. So the point is, we'll be supplying synthetic blood to the vampires so they won't be killing people or sucking on them to get their blood, and they'll become acceptable citizens. And remember, around this time, a couple of years ago, there was a guy down in Florida. There was an article on him. He claimed he was a vampire, and he was running for local Congress.
When you came in, the air went out. And all those shadows there, filled up with doubt. I don't know who you think you are, but before the night is through, I wanna do bad things with you. I wanna do real bad things with you. Do bad things with you.